Okay, obviously this morning we are talking about having a prayer list. I don't know if you have a prayer list or not, and so if you already have a prayer list, you might look at this class and say, well, I've already got one. I don't need this class. Well, hopefully something that we talk about today will be helpful for us. And when you think about keeping a prayer list, this is something that applies to all of us. It doesn't matter if you're an adult. Doesn't matter if you're in junior high or senior high. This is something that really has an application for all of us, and I think all of us can benefit from thinking about this. Now, used to be when you thought about a prayer list, you know, it was a piece of paper that you would have in a notebook or have in your Bible or have out on the dining table at home. But these days, it's not limited to just a piece of paper. Obviously, you can. Probably more effectively for some of us, we can keep a prayer list right on our phone. If you have a flip phone, can you still keep a prayer list on that? There we go. That's so anybody can have a prayer list on their phone, and it's an easy place to keep it because you can add to it. Anytime you need to. You can remove from it, I suppose, anytime you need to. So whether it's a piece of paper, whether it's something you keep in your phone, there's certain benefits to having a prayer list. So I wanted to talk about, just right here at the beginning very quickly, top 10 list. Bob, are you trying to fix the monitor? Well, flip over and give me control of the PowerPoint, and we'll do without that monitor for class. And maybe we can get it fixed after class and before worship. So, top 10 reasons. There we go. Top 10 reasons you should have a prayer list. What would you put? I'm going to ask you this question at the end, but top 10 reasons that you should have a prayer list. What should be on this list? There's scores of things we could put on here. Number one, Jesus commanded us to pray. Would it be helpful to have a list of things for us to keep up with? And when you pray, what do? You say words, right? And these words come from somewhere, and these thoughts come from somewhere. Would it be beneficial to have a list of things that you pray about? Jesus not only commanded us to pray, He commanded us to pray for others. So, how do I keep up with those people that I'm praying for? Would it be helpful to have a list that I have that will help me to keep up because I'm trying to fulfill a command of Jesus to pray for others? When you think about the Apostle Paul, did the Apostle Paul have a prayer list? Well, he never specifically said, I have a prayer list. But how many people and how many congregations did Paul tell, I'm praying for you? Did he mean it? Or was he just doing what we do sometimes? Oh, I'm praying for you. Did he mean it? Was he serious? How did he keep up with all of them? Do you think that Paul, I think Paul, had a prayer list to keep up with all of those that he told he was praying for? Number four, the presence of a list itself is a reminder to pray. When you see that piece of paper on the table, when you see that piece of paper on your nightstand, when you open your Bible, it's there. When you open your phone and there's that note sitting there, what is it? It's a reminder. David, have you prayed today? It affords us an opportunity to talk to our Father every day. Is it important to talk to your Father every day? Now that I have a daughter in college, guess what I like every once in a while? To hear from my daughter. Guess what God wants? He wants to hear from His child. Gives us an opportunity to talk to our Father every day. That's why we should have a prayer list. Number six, it is, it ensures, and I put this quote, this word in quotes, it ensures that we don't lie to others. What do I mean by that? How often do we tell people, I'm praying for you? How often do we see something on Facebook, some event, something that somebody puts there, and we type thoughts and prayers, praying for you? Did we? Are we? Or is it just a nice thing to say, like, hello, how are you? Have a nice day. I'm praying for you. It's just a nice thing to, it is a nice thing to say, right? But do we need to mean what we say? It's a nice thing to say, but I don't need to be lying in the process. So what's helpful? Somebody says, will you pray for me? Yeah, I'll be praying for you. And you write it down. You take out your phone and you add that to the list. Make sure that I'm not lying when I tell somebody that I'm praying for them. Number 7, it encourages me to be mindful of others. We'll talk about various things that we pray about. Not only do I pray about things that concern me, but it helps me to think about what do I need to be praying about when it comes to others. And it helps me to focus on other people besides myself. Number 8, it helps me to recognize how often God is answering my prayers. Sometimes we don't realize how much God is answering our prayers. We sort of take it for granted. Oh yeah, well, yeah, that just sort of happened. Wow, that came about too. Well, how did it come about? If I go back and I see something on my prayers, oh, I was praying about that, and oh, it happened. It helps me to see God at work in my life. Number 9, it helps me when I pray to have humility and to generate a greater dependence upon my God. It's hard to be arrogant when you pray. It's hard to flex your independence when you are truly expressing your dependence upon God. And I thought about when I started making this list of top 10 reasons you should have a prayer list, I thought about putting number 10 on here 10 times. Because these aren't in any order, but a list will not forget what to pray for. You know what happens if we don't have a prayer list? We forget. We forget some things. We forget some people that we need to be praying for. We forget, that I told somebody that I would pray for them. We forget the announcements that were made on Sunday or Wednesday we forget what was in the bulletin. And so we sit down to pray, and dear God, oh boy, I can't remember everything I was thinking about praying about today. What does a list help you? A list doesn't forget. Guess what our brains do? They forget. They seem to forget more and more. So what does a list help us to do? To remember the things we ought to pray for. What would you add to this? If it was a top 72 list of reasons we ought to pray, what reasons do you think we ought to have a prayer list? Anything else? Say it again. Peace. Gives you peace of mind, right? Brings peace to your heart. Mickey? Is there great power in prayer? Some people may shy away from the idea of having a prayer list because they think, well, then I'm praying the same thing over and over. Anything wrong with praying the same thing over and over? Father, if it be at all possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but you will. Father, if it be at all possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but you will. Father, if it be at Jesus, you're praying the same thing over and over. Yeah. Nothing wrong with praying. Mickey used the word power. Is there power in prayer? Yeah. We need to see that. Henry, what'd you say? I didn't hear what you said. Okay, helps us to create a love for all people. You have not because you ask not. We need to put it on our prayer list. Why else should we have a prayer list, Eva?
Prayer is being connected to God.
Okay. Okay, so prayer helps us to stay connected to God. Say it again. All right. It builds relationships and helps us to keep that relationship strong. It's hard to have a relationship with somebody you don't communicate with, isn't it? How's your marriage working? Well, it's working great. We haven't talked in 4 months. We're as close as we've ever been. Well, maybe for some of you, but you got to have communication. And that helps to build our relationship with God. So, when you sit down to create, that's what we're talking about today, creating and maintaining a prayer list, when we sit down to create and maintain a prayer list, what needs to be on that list? We won't have time to develop everything that's on this handout. And the handout that is in the back today for you is similar to the handout that I've used in some other classes. So if you think you've seen something like this, you may have, but it's had some additions to it. There's some things over in the left column about prayer requires and when we ought to pray, and we're not even going to talk about some of that stuff. I sit down to make a prayer list. What should be on that prayer list? I would suggest to you there are about 8 parts to every prayer that we have. 8 parts. What's the first part? And if you didn't get a handout, that's okay. You can go get one. See, Lawrence is going back. He was passing them out to everybody, and he forgot to get one for himself. No, just kidding. If you didn't get a handout, Lawrence will pass them out again. He's getting extra cardio in today. What's the first part of prayer? If there's 8 parts to having to your prayers, I would suggest to you the first part is your address to God. How do you address God? You might think that's obvious, but that's the first part of prayer. First part of prayer is I've got to say, who am I speaking to? You know, you start a letter, and we don't do this in text messages, but used to be when you would start a letter, you would say, "Dear John, I don't want anything to do with you anymore." You know, but we would have the address at the beginning of the letter to say, "Who is this to?" So, when we pray, Jesus in Matthew chapter 6, and you might open your Bible to Matthew chapter 6, look at verses 9 through 13. We're going to look at some of these verses here, Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13, but we're going to pull in other passages as well. But Henry said it, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9, how do we start our prayers? This is not the only way, but he said, "Our Father who art in heaven." Who are we praying to? We're praying. Now, when you pray, when you sit down with your prayer list, do you need to say, "Our Father"? Or can you say, "My Father who is in heaven"? Oh, sure. When you're talking publicly, we need to use some plural pronouns. But when we're talking about me sitting down and praying in my home, can I say my Father? I like John chapter 17. John chapter 17. Some people call Matthew 6 the Lord's Prayer. It's not the Lord's Prayer. If you want the Lord's Prayer, you look over in John chapter 17. There you got Jesus praying for a whole chapter. And 3 times in John 17, he addresses God as Father. When he begins the prayer, he addresses God as Father. And then throughout the prayer, he says, "O Holy Father." And then he says, "O Righteous Father." What's the point? Point is, when we pray, we are addressing our prayer to our Father in heaven. And the next point's going to build upon this. But when we address God, should it be with reverence? You don't see Jesus saying, "Hey, Pops, how's it going?" Is that how Jesus started his prayer? "Hey, Big Daddy, haven't talked to you in a while. Just wanted to check in." Does that just make you uncomfortable to even thinking about saying those words when it comes to prayer? Why? That's not how we address our God. That's not how we address our Father. And so we need to think about the first part of our prayer. Can this have variety? You know, it can have variety to the extent that we are addressing our God, our Father, our loving Father. Listen to Jerry Hopkins pray, and guess what generally, Jerry Hopkins starts out, "Loving Father." Sorry, Jerry. I'm going to mess up your prayer life from now on. And now he's going to think about how he prays publicly. But "Loving Father" is how Jerry Hopkins often begins his prayers. And so when you think about how we address God, Dave? Say that again. I missed it. Okay. That's the second part. Is Dave says we need to acknowledge his power and his holiness. And that's and it goes kind of together, But I would say that the second part of the prayers is our adoration, is our praise of God, is acknowledging who He is acknowledging what He has done. So we are addressing our God, and we are telling God how much we adore Him. We are praising God for who He is and what He's done. Go, get your Bibles and go to 1 Chronicles. Here's a book we don't go to very often. I want to go to 1 Chronicles, and then we'll jump over to the book of Revelation. We're just going to do this quickly. But I want to see an Old Testament passage and a New Testament passage. And look in 1 Chronicles chapter 29. If you find 2 Chronicles, then it's the page right before it. It's at the end of the book of 1 Chronicles. But here's David praying in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, beginning of verse 10. David blessed the Lord before all the assembly. Here's what David says in his prayer, 1 Chronicles 29, beginning of verse 10. Blessed are you, blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and on earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. So David starts his prayer. And does he say, Dear Father in heaven, here's what I need today. Here's my checklist for today. There's nothing wrong with praying and saying, God, here's what I need today. But before David ever gets to any part of a prayer where he's going to make any sort of request, what does he do? He lifts up and exalts God for who He is. Do we need to do that? We need to do that. Over in the book of Revelation, in Revelation chapter 4, those who are there in the midst, those who are right there in the presence of God, are saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who is, who was, and is to come. They're saying, You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they exist and were created. So what's the point? Point is, when we address our God, that's the first part of prayer, We praise Him. What does Psalm 8 say? O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Your name in all the earth. So we might even pull biblical expressions into our prayers. Or we might just praise God from our own heart, telling Him what we think of Him, how thankful we are for Him. Morris? Well, there's... You know that Morris talks about, you know, not just the what we're saying, but how we pray, and talks about even getting down on our knees when we pray. You know, the Bible does not prescribe a certain posture, but does your posture influence your prayer? Listen to this whole thing that I'm about ready to say, and don't take it the wrong way, okay? Is it wrong to pray when you're laying down? No. Most of us do it all the time. All right? We go to bed praying, or we wake up. We go to sleep praying, or we wake up praying. Nothing wrong laying down while you're praying. But is there something different about laying down and falling asleep when you're praying and sitting in a chair praying? Or getting down on your knees and praying? Or getting down on your knees next to your bed and praying? Is there a difference in the assembly if we stand up when we pray, when we sit down when we pray? Or when we pray, if I'm just slouched back in the pew and I got my head laying here so I'm nice and comfy in case it's a long prayer. You know, just kind of getting comfy during the prayer. Does my posture have anything to do with my sense of reverence before God? Sure it does. And so that kind of leads into this the third part of prayer. And Morris kind of gave this segue right into it, is that prayer's got to have submission as a part of it. Prayer's when, as Jesus did, not my will, but your will be done. Submission's really easy, right? I mean, it's just supernatural. It just comes so natural to everybody just to submit, right? I don't think so. What's in Matthew chapter 6? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's not just saying, God, I hope your will is done everywhere on earth except right here, God. I mean, everywhere on earth would be good, and you know, except for right here. No, it starts with me submitting myself before God and being willing to say, God, here's what I want. And God, here's what I feel like I need. But God, I'm going to let you take care of it. Is that easy? No, because we think we know best. We think we've got it all figured out. Sometimes we think we've looked at a situation from every possible angle and we say, God, here's the only possible way that you can answer this prayer. Is that true? Or could there be another way? Yes, ma'am. Yes, submitting to God helps us to resist the devil, Marie says. And those two concepts are right there together in James chapter 4, aren't they? Where it says submit to God, and then it says resist the devil and he will flee from you. They're right back to back in James chapter 4. And so I've got, when I come before God in prayer, and it's these three, and by the way, the eight parts of prayer we're talking about this morning, there's not a real particular order to them. Obviously, the address of who we're addressing in prayer ought to come at the beginning, but there's not really anything that says certain things have to come in a certain order. But these first three things help us to, before we even ask for anything, help us to put ourselves in perspective in relationship with our God. Our Father, you are an awesome God. You've done great wonders on this earth and in my life, and I submit myself before you. And everything I'm going to ask of you of God today, I'm asking you from a humble heart. Please help me, God, to be humble. And please, God, help know that it's not my will that's demanded here, but God, let your will be done. And then we come to what we often figure to be what we think about when it comes to prayer. Maybe the biggest thing that we think about sometimes when it comes to prayer is this part that's called petition. Or it can be the word supplication. What does this mean? What is supplication? What does supplication mean? What are the first six letters? What are the first six letters of the word supplication? What are we asking God to do?
Supply.
God, here's what I want. Here's what I need. Anything wrong with asking God for something? No. What does Matthew 7:7 say? Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. Anything wrong with us asking God for things? Absolutely not. Now, qualify that with the third point that we're doing it by saying, not my will, but your will be done, God. But there's nothing wrong with us asking God for things. Philippians 4. You know Philippians 4 and verse 6? Be anxious for how many things? Not a single thing. Philippians 4 and verse 6 says, be anxious for nothing. Well, what am I supposed to do then? But in everything, by prayer and supplication, that's what it's talking about, The petitions that you make with thanksgiving, what does he say? Let your requests be made known unto God. So we have divine permission. Bring your requests before me. Did Jesus do it? Yeah. Did the Apostle Paul do it? Yeah. I mean, here's two individuals that we would look at and say, well, you know, if they ask God for things, is it okay for me to ask? What sort of things would we put on this list? And I'm going to put, just for sake of time, I'm going to put all of these. I think you've got blanks on all of these. What's involved in our petitions. What's involved in our supplications? It's asking God to fulfill some personal needs in our lives. What does that include? Everything. Give us this day our daily bread. How often are we supposed to pray? That says, give us this day our daily bread. So, do we pray about tomorrow's bread today? Give us tomorrow's bread today, but if you want to wait till tomorrow, that'll be okay too. Or do we pray every day? Dirk? Right. Supplication is that which helps us to keep our relationship with God, Dirk says, in perspective. It helps us to realize, James 1 verse 17 is up here, that every good and perfect gift, where's that from? Comes down from above. It's not in and of ourselves. All that we have. But Paul would ask in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, about verse 6 or 7, what do you have that you did not receive? You want to answer that question? Well, I don't have anything that I didn't receive from God. So it helps me to put everything in perspective, to say everything belongs to God. And so in my relationship with God, I am saying to God, God, I am humbling myself before you. And He knows what I need even before I ask Him, but yet I need to voice it. I need to ask for it. When I'm going through struggles and difficult times, I need to pray and ask for God's help. What does Psalm 46 and verse 1 say? The Lord is a present help. I like the word present in that verse. The Lord is our present help in time of need. He's not distant. He's not far away from us. He's right here. And so we petition and we ask God to help us through some trial of life. We petition, ask God to help us, to deliver us. What was a part of the prayer in Matthew 6? Give us this day our daily bread. We talked about that in verse 11. What does verse 13 say in Matthew chapter 6? Does it have anything about deliverance? Deliver us from the evil one. Do you ever pray about the devil? I didn't say do you pray for the devil. Do you ever pray about the devil? You ever concern? You know, Jim Davis coaches football. You ever talk about the other team, Jim? I mean, you ever talk to your team about the other team? Or do you just practice and say, well, it doesn't matter who we play. You talk about the other team. You talk about what their strengths are. You talk about where they're good. Why? To get yourselves ready. You talk to God about the other team? You talk to God about the devil? God? Devil seems to be, he seems to be firing on all cylinders today. I don't know what it is. He's on today, God. And God, I need you to deliver me from him. Jesus told his disciples, watch and pray, what? That you enter not into temptation. Do we do that, Gary? Well, we will talk about that when we get down to this point about Thanksgiving. We'll talk about that, and that's a good question. The Bible says, Gary asked, if the Bible says to give thanks in everything, does that mean you give thanks even for all the bad stuff? We'll talk about that when we get down there. But this part of prayer, Henry, go ahead.
You know, he put them here.
That's right. Henry says everything on this earth was created by God, belongs to God, and we need to have that in mind when we pray that everything we have, everything we potentially have, is from God. Richard? Yes. That's right. Richard says that in Ephesians chapter 6, when you have the description of the armor of God, and you have all of these various pieces that are described there about the helmet of salvation and the breastplate of righteousness and the shield of faith and all of these, what we would think of physical pieces, these six pieces. You get down to verse 18, and he mentions a seventh piece of armor. What is it? The very first word in Ephesians 6, verse 18 is praying. The second word is always. That's what strength do we have in that? Praying always in all prayer and supplication. That's that we are asking God And as Richard said, we're asking God for victory. We put on the armor that we'll be able to stand against the devil. That's the purpose in Ephesians 6, verses 13 and 14, is we'll be able to stand against the devil. And when we put it on, now we pray and we ask God for victory. We ask God to help us to overcome the evil one. So there's this petition. There's this supplication that's involved in prayer. There's confession. Is this part number 5? There's confession that's involved in prayer. And again, these are not in a specific, have to put them in this order. All right? For some people, they take confession in asking God for forgiveness. Sometimes they'll put it up at the beginning of their prayer before they ever ask for anything. They will confess their wrongs, their sins, and they'll ask God for forgiveness. That's not a bad place to put it. Sometimes we put it at the end of the prayer for some of us. It's sort of like our credits. You know, our credits start rolling on our prayer, and one of those credits, oh, there's the forgiveness part. We throw that one in there at the end. Nothing wrong with it being at the end either. But prayer involves a confession to God. You read Psalm 51. Psalm 51 is David pouring out his heart to God, confessing his sin to God and what he had done. And you see the grief of his heart in what he had done and how he knew that what he had done was separating himself from God, and he pleads with God to forgive him. That's what confession's not just, God, please forgive me if I've committed any sin. Really? Please forgive me if I have committed any sin? Well, what do we know? We know that we sin. Now, are we always conscious of every sin that we commit? Not necessarily. But do we know that we sin? Are we conscious of some sins that we commit? Absolutely. What do we need to be doing? Confessing them. God, I've done wrong again. But not just confessing, asking God to forgive me. When Jesus told, we got 5 minutes, are you kidding me? When Jesus told the parable about the Pharisee and the publican, what was the difference? Big difference between the two men that went to the temple to pray. That's what Jesus said was their purpose. They went to the temple to pray, and the publican's prayer was very short, wasn't it? He wasn't long-winded in his prayer, was he? Very short. Remember what it was? God, be merciful to me, a sinner. When was the last time we prayed that? God, be merciful to me, a sinner. We got 5 minutes to cover this. Here's where I wanted to spend a greater amount of time today. Didn't get to. Sometimes we spend a lot of time in our prayers asking God for what we want for us. And there's nothing wrong with that. We need to tell God what we want, what we need, what we're thinking, what we're struggling with. What we need to talk to God as our Father and pour out everything that's on our hearts for ourselves personally. But intercession involves praying for others, interceding for others. And you know, because you've got a big long list of things on your paper there, and this is not, you know that this is not a complete list by any stretch. Who do we pray for? We need to pray for the church. Paul did. Think about how many congregations Paul said, I'm praying for you. And not just pray for the congregation or congregations in general, but to pray for brothers and sisters in Christ specifically. Do you know that this church does not print a church bulletin, does not email a church bulletin because we're fulfilling the 11th commandment of God in order to have a church bulletin? Do you know He doesn't command us to have a church bulletin? Well, why in the world will you have a church bulletin? Well, one reason is so that we can have page 4 in our church bulletin. Guess what page 4 is? A prayer list. How often do we take page 4 in our bulletin and pray? I'm not talking publicly, I'm talking privately. And pray for everybody on page 4 in our bulletin. That's why it's there. Why do we have family prayer? Why on Thursday morning, after we've had family prayer on Wednesday night, why on Thursday morning does an email go out with everything that was mentioned in the family prayer on Wednesday night? So that it's not just mentioned one time, so that it's mentioned hundreds of times more on Thursday or Friday or whenever you open your email. Praying for others, interceding for others, praying for those who are weak, not just physically, but praying for those who are weak spiritually, praying for our spiritual leaders, praying for our elders. How often do you pray for our elders? And not just pray for them in general, saying, please be with our elders, but pray for them by name. How often do you pray for the preachers? How often do you pray for our missionaries? Those are listed in the directory. You can pray through the directory and pray for our missionaries. How often do you pray for our civil leaders? God says to do it in 1 Timothy chapter 2. He says to pray for our president, for our vice president, for everybody who is in authority in our country. God says to pray, P-R-A-Y, not E-Y, to pray for them. How often do we? Do you know why God says to pray for them? You keep reading in 1 Timothy chapter 2, and he says, God says to pray for all of them because God wants all of them to be saved. Do you want all of them to be saved? We're living in interesting times right now. But you know what prayer can help me to do? Prayer can help me to have a better attitude towards those who are in authority, so that I can see what God wants me to see instead of what Facebook wants me to see, or instead of what the news wants me to see. So I can see that these individuals are put there by God. That's what Romans chapter 13 says. I need to pray for them. I need to pray for all men, including my enemies. I need to pray for our families. I love Job 1 and verse 5. We don't have time to look at it, but read it sometime. See how much Job prayed for his family. We need to pray for the lost. And I've got a long list of about 40 other things here, but unfortunately, we don't have time to look at that. We need to have intercession in our prayers. We need to have thanksgiving in our prayers. Again, this order may not be your order, okay? But our prayers would be naked if they don't have thanksgiving in them. How can you pray to God and not be full of thanksgiving for what He's done? Are we to thank Him for everything? It says, thank Him for everything. Do I thank Him for hard times? Do I thank Him for bad things that happen? Sometimes we grow through hard times, don't we? Sometimes bad things help us. How do we know things are bad? Well, because we've seen good, or because we want something good. There's the contrast there. And so sometimes the bad helps us to appreciate the good, but we need to be full of thanksgiving for all people. That's hard, isn't it? But thanks. 1 Timothy 2 doesn't say just pray for all people. Be thankful. What? Be thankful. That's what it says. Be thankful. We need to thank God for our brethren, for the blessings that we have in God. Remember the 10 lepers, and only one of them returned. We need to thank God for the gift of Christ, and thank God for the victory that we have in Jesus. We're rushing through this, but obviously our prayers need to be done in the name of Jesus. This isn't just a formula. This isn't just, oh, I forgot to say it. God's not going to hear that prayer because I forgot to put those words in. It's not a formula to sneak your prayer into heaven. These are words. Jesus said to pray in my name. What does that mean? We have Jesus' authority to approach the throne of God. Do we need Jesus' authority? He has all authority. And when I pray, He has given me authority to go to. He has given me authority to go to the very throne of God. When I pray in the name of Jesus, it helps me to understand my relationship with Him and with God. And it helps me when I pray in the name of Jesus to make sure that what I've been praying for is truly consistent with what Jesus would have me to pray for. A whole lot more we could talk about with all of this, but let me end by saying this. Can I encourage all of us, old and young, and everybody in between, to have a personal prayer list? Whether it's a piece of paper or something you keep on your phone. You want your life to be enriched? You want this church to be enriched? Let's be a praying people. Thank you very much for your attention this morning.